Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. We are live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and you joined us on Facebook, or if you received the link on your telephone, we thank you for joining us. For those of you who called in, it's 646-668-2636. We'd like to thank you. We see you there on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, share your insights or wisdom, I'll be part of the discussion. Just press 1 on your keypad. And again, for those who joined us through the link online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we thank you and pray that something will be said today that would encourage you, strengthen you, and guide you in your walk with God. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to continue our conversation we were having about reasons why we should evangelize. And we're going to touch on a few things here today. Hopefully we encourage you in your walk, in your faith walk. And just know that we, as the body of Christ, as men of God, we are called to share the hope of our faith, the truth of the gospel, and that we are to go out outside the walls of the church and evangelize to those lost souls, those unbelieving souls who are in need of a word of God in your life, that the eternal soul will be saved from the wrath to come. So we're going to touch on some of that. And again, if you called in online at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, and we'll see you on the switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation. So I'm opening up with prayer. Amen. Father God, we just say thank you. We thank you for everything that you are and everything that you do, Lord God. Father, we ask today that you would continue to watch over our lives as husbands, fathers, and sons. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to use us, oh God. Continue, God, to put us in a place that our lives will glorify you. Father, we pray for the homeless. We pray for those, oh God, who are going through addictions, those who are struggling, with emotional, spiritual, and physical problems and suffering, oh God. We pray for those in the hospital room. We pray for those in the jail cell. That today would be the day of salvation. That today something would be said that would encourage them, that would bring the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope and the truth of the gospel into their lives. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. Father, we look at the pastors, elders, and deacons, and those who serve the ministry. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to use me, use those in my circle of influence, God, to share the truth of the gospel. We ask your continuing loving kindness to the hedge of protection around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. So again, today we're going to be talking about the reasons why we should evangelize. So I want to read something here from some of the articles I was doing my research on, and it talks about evangelism and the importance of it. And the reasons we should. I mean, we have a lot of reasons why people like this, they don't do it. But today I want to be encouraging in that as men of God, as the body of Christ, we have to get to the place and understand that we should be evangelizing. And whatever it takes to get to that place, because I understand there's a level of maturity, there's a level of confidence, there's a lot of things that hinder folk. But today we just want to today to consider, you know, to grow, to encourage you to grow in the faith and knowledge of God, to continue to grow in his grace, that you might be used by him. It's as simple as that sometimes. Are we in a place, or are we seeking to be in a place where God can use us for his glory? And that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. So, again, you know, it's funny that, you know, a lot of this that I've been talking about, these are things that I've heard over the years and that were taught over the years. So I just want to get to this again. Just want to cover a couple of things here and give you a couple of scriptures that you may be able to be encourage you and be you and that would encourage you in your faith. It would stir up something in us to know why we should evangelize. Amen. So the first thing I'm going to touch on today is we have to understand that we evangelize because we know that hell is real. That hell is real. Jesus talked about hell. The scripture describes hell. God has warned us. You know, he called John, John the Baptist came to warn people about repentance. He preached the gospel of repentance. And it's all about where we're going to spend eternity. And I think that's the thing we all have to remember and focus on, that we can look back over the reality of hell. Because again, if Jesus is the word and Jesus is the truth, you know, when we look at it and we do the study, we realize that Jesus talked a lot about hell, a little bit more than he talked about heaven, as we read through the gospel. Because again, he was coming to warn them and warn the Jews of that time that now all the rituals, the ceremonies, the sacrifices were fulfilled in him. And now to see that without him, without faith in him, where their destiny was. You know, they already understood hell. This is why they were living in obedience as the nation of Israel, as Jews. But now he came to tell them he is the fulfillment covenant God now is by faith. Amen? Amen. So I want to give a couple of verses here. As always, I want to have us give a scriptural reference on the things that we discuss here, that you might be edified, that you might read them and be encouraged. Amen? So the first scripture, I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 46. Then I'm going to give you, Matthew 13 and 50. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Let's see, Revelations 14 and 11, and Revelations 21 and 8. So now I'm going to read Revelation 21 and 8 because I think we have to understand. As us as men of God, we understand, but this is how we, again, when we are sharing the gospel and the truth of the word, we have to let people know what are the consequences, why they must be saved, because the Bible says without Christ, your destiny is determined. Your eternal life has already been prophesied and determined by what the Word of God says. Not what I said, not what your grandmother said, whatever your pastor's telling you. You know, without Christ, you're destined for eternal punishment and the wrath of God. So I want to read this, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. And the Word says, But as the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as of murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Amen. And that second death is hell. We have our physical death and then our spiritual death. We know as Christianity, the doctrines teach, I'm not going to go way into that, but we know that there's physical death, which we all, these bodies are going to die and deteriorate. This is why we have sicknesses. This is why we die physically. Everyone is going to die. Death is an equal opportunity. Everybody gets it. But the spiritual death, and where we're going to spend eternity, is what Jesus Christ came to save us from. When we're talking about salvation, we're talking about being converted. This is why Christ came, and this is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to convert the life, convert us from sinners to children of God, to the sons of God, to be joint heirs with Christ. These are the things that Scripture teaches, and these are the things that we have to let the unbeliever or the unsaved know. This is what Christianity is. There's a lot of what I call icing on Christianity, but when we get down to the foundational substance of the Christ of Christianity, is Jesus Christ died just to save us from the wrath of God. Amen? Amen. So the next thing I want to talk about, and in our evangelism, are we sharing the reality of hell? And since we know, as men of God, as believers, since we understand the Word of God to be true, and we understand the prophecy, we understand what Christ was teaching, can we not love somebody not to tell them what they must do to be saved? Or are we comfortable with allowing people to end up eternally? If hell is real to us as believers, how can we stand by and let people just walk straight head on into hell without us saying anything? You know, a pastor preached a sermon one time and gave us the metaphor of, if you saw someone on a train track and you see the train coming, you see the lights, you hear the whistles, but they on the tracks and you assume they hear it until you see the train about to overtake them. And you just stand there and watch the train run them over. Amen? Because that's what it is. We see the light. We hear the whistles. We hear the Word of God. And why won't we warn someone else who's on the track? Because it's coming. Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he already came as a lamb. When he comes back, he's coming as a lion. And those that are not with him, that are against him, he will punish. As believers, if we believe the Word of God for our own salvation, why we don't believe the Word of God when he tells that we are to evangelize and reach out to the lost? Amen? What stops us? These are the reasons we should be doing it. Now, however we do that, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of, God will give you direction, guidance, strategy. Pastors, elders, I know pastors pastors put together evangelism efforts, prayer walks, community outreaches. And are we as men of God, are we a part of those things? Are we in the presence of ministry? Are we doing it like the scripture says in 2 Timothy? Are we doing the work of an evangelist? Are we doing the work of an evangelist individually? See, that's important because we have to have our mindset that this is something that the church is called to do. As the church, as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility. And that's my next point that I wanted to touch upon, is that we are God's means. God uses the church to reconcile the lost unto himself, because we have the ministry of reconciliation. Let me give you, what is it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. I'm going to read them here. And again, if you want to join the conversation or share your insights for those brothers who called in, this first one on your keypad will bring you in. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. I want to read a portion of it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that he might become the righteous, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So, brothers, remember, God says we are his ambassadors. Now, when we look at the world, we look at governments, we look at nations and diplomacy, we understand what ambassador means. It means the same thing. We are representatives in a foreign country of who is our God. We are the citizens of heaven, and now we are ambassadors through the gospel, through what Christ has done in our life, what he's doing in our life, and are we going out and representing him in a way that will draw others? Because, again, the thing about evangelism is we have to be mindful also. It's not a debate where we're trying to out-debate people or out-argue people. We are proclaiming. We are proclaiming the truth of God. Because we believe it. There's nothing they can say that's going to move us off our faith prayerfully. Nothing that anyone who can say that can move us off our faith. But we stand and we proclaim it through the discussions and not necessarily a debate. Amen? Amen. So, I mean, that's where we have to be at. And to be able to stand on that, and even in debating, you know, I mean, some people, in high school were on debate teams, and college were on debate teams. But in that, you were prepared to give a defense, to give an answer to your side and to your opinion. So as men of God, we have to study and be in that place, because the word tells us to study to show ourselves approved and examine ourselves that we are the faith. And all we're doing is sharing what we believe, why we believe it, to someone that they might hear and that they might believe. Amen? Amen. I'm bringing my brother in online. Your last four numbers, 5381. This is Elder Mark. How are you, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning, my brother. Bless. Thank you for the opportunity to join with
Amen.
Me. I apologize if I have any background noise. I'm at work. But I just wanted to jump in really quickly on what you mentioned. This was a place that I was in, so I just kind of want to encourage the brothers out there that are listening. Sometimes when we hear the word evangelism, we get scared because we feel like we're inadequate to share. I love what you said and what you shared, of course. The scriptures tell us, you know, studies show ourselves approved, and that we're sharing what we believe. You know, and some of us, and I'm going to speak for myself, I was in a place where I was kind of reluctant to evangelize initially because I felt like I didn't have the understanding to be able to defend God. And, you know, because, you know, you hear so many people that have, you know, the atheist argument, the Darwinistic view, and so many different views, and people that say that God can't exist. And I was like, well, how can I defend that? I don't have the knowledge yet. And then I realized that if I just give myself over to God, if I submit myself to God, God will give Holy Spirit and give me the strength and the understanding and the words to speak the right words and speak to that person that they will hear, because all I'm doing is planting a seed that God can water. And that's what our purpose is in evangelism. It's not, like Deacon Farr said, to debate someone or to sway their decision, but to give them to plant a seed in their life that God can water and can show them who he is. And all we're doing, we're really opening the door for God to come in and just speak to their heart. You're opening the door. It's almost like you open the door for your wife or for a lady for her to walk into the room, for her to be ushered into the room. It's the same thing. You are opening the door for God to be ushered into their heart, ushered into their mind so that they can receive. All you're doing is just softening the way, and you're doing so in a manner that you just represent God because, as Deacon Farr said in the Word tells us, we are ambassadors to God. As we are ambassadors, we represent him. And in God's strength, as we have faith in him, he won't let us look crazy. He won't let us look bad for him representing him if we're submissive to him, if we give him honor, if we do it in a manner that we're looking to share who God is. We're not looking for a name for ourselves to go out and say, oh, well, I saved this many souls and I did this and I did this. No, I just planted seeds for God to work in hearts. I just allow myself to be a vessel for God to share with God, what someone else share with me, I'm sharing with someone else so that great commission can be continued on. That's what Christ called us to do, is to go out and share who he is, that he is our Savior, that God is our creator, that Christ died on the cross for us, that he was risen again on the third day, that he's seated at the right hand of God. And as we believe that, evangelism is simply sharing what you believe and recognizing that God will do the work. God can use you. So to those that are listening, I just want to encourage you, my brothers, when you get scared about evangelism, when you hear your pastor talk about come join us on this prayer walk or let's walk in the neighborhood, don't worry about, and saying this from my own perspective, my own issue that I had before, don't get caught up in what you don't know. Don't get caught up in what you feel like you are inadequate to share. And just share your testimony. Share your heart. Be an open vessel that shares who God is to you. And God will do the rest through you. Amen?
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. And brother, he's correct. And evangelism, all of it, if we look at Scripture, we look at what Paul, the apostles, and Peter, and John, all they did was tell folk what they believed and what they saw and what they believed, who Christ was. What did God tell them? What did Christ teach them for those 3 years? And now as us in the body of Christ, you share what you know. That's where you start at, no matter how long you've been in the church. You know, the 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 10 years, whatever you know. And that's what we talk about, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. Because the more you grow, the more you know, the more you understand, and that's what you share. You can't share nothing you don't know. You know, we see it as discipleship, as mentoring. It's the same principle behind it. All you're doing is giving what you have. And you have, and now that's a whole other discussion. If you're not receiving nothing from Sunday after Sunday, Bible study after Bible study, and you're not retaining it, I mean, or you're not pursuing to receive it and now apply it to your life, that's a whole other show and discussion. But this is what we're called to be. We're called to be transformed and converted in us, in our souls, in our hearts and minds. And now we're just sharing what we believe. We're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We're sharing what God has done in our life once we started living obedient to the word that we know and we apply. And now we're just sharing that to someone who does not know. There, get my English down. But that's what we have to do. And when we do that, you know, and my brother said it too, it's, you know, we're not, I have to say this a lot, because sometimes we get into this as Christians, we want to debate. It's like trying to convince somebody that I'm the husband of my wife, I'm the father of my children. I don't have to explain that. That's who I am. You see what I'm saying? It's that same thing. You are a man of God. You are a Christian. You are a believer. I'm not debating to convince you. I could share with you how that I'm a father, I'm a husband, what it means to be a husband and father. I could share to you to who I am as whatever your profession is. I talked about this in a previous episode. Your resume and your job. You telling somebody who you are. You're not trying to explain or make them understand. This is who I am. Do you need me for the job that you have? Because this is who I am. You know, so it's the same thing with our faith. When we are evangelizing and sharing, we're going out, we're faithful, we're humble, we're transparent. And I want to say this, because brother said this too, you know, you might run into people who will ask you questions, or want to discuss the different philosophies. But even for the atheists, you know, I say this. I'll give this. This is a free one right here. If you talk to someone and say they don't believe in God, they're atheists, then your response to them is you can't trust them because they have no moral base or no moral foundation. Anything can go, and it's dog-eat-dog world, and then you ask them. Then you bring it back to their lives. They'll say, are you married? Do you have children? So why are you married? Why are you faithful to your children? You know, why do you take care of your children? Well, some brothers don't, but there you go. That's what atheism is, because you're not doing the things of God. And they can't be trusted because they will lie, cheat, steal. They will commit murder. They'll commit. They'll do all these things because they have no moral standard. So to say you're an atheist and you don't believe it is a God, that means you believe in, you can't believe in morality. And that's the whole discussion right there. Because if you don't believe in God, you have no moral. So where's your moral foundation and where did it come from? And then you stop talking and let them explain their who they are. Because if they don't believe in God, and even if they, because when you say an atheist, you don't believe in no God. It doesn't matter, Muslim, whatever. But if you don't believe in a God that gives you your moral, where are you getting your moral foundation from? And then you don't have to say another word. You let them defend themselves. That's the other thing. Us as men of God, we are never on the defensive. Because the word, you don't have to, that's the other thing. You know, we don't have to necessarily memorize the word. We're familiar and we memorize some scriptures. But any question anyone ever asks you, you can go to the word and show them. Because it's not you, it's God's word. I'm an ambassador. Remember, you're an ambassador. We are not God, we're not Christ, but we are ambassadors and joint heirs with Christ. And he's given us 66 books to answer all the questions that people bring to us. So don't be afraid to say, I'll get back to you. I'll text you the scripture that answers your question, or let me look it up, or let me, ask somebody. I call a brother. What was that show we used to have? You got one phone call. Let me make a phone call so somebody can answer that question for you. You know, and that's what we have to see it as. And then, again, we're planting seed, like my brother said. We just continue to plant seeds. Amen? This is Christian Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. Or you can go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And we also have a Facebook page. You can join us on the Facebook page. And also, if you have any men's events coming up, men's Bible studies, men's conferences, prayer breakfasts. Matter of fact, there was one this morning, but amen. men's breakfasts, let us know. Send information to me. If you have my number, text it to me, because I see a lot of things come up on Facebook. But it's usually the same day or the night before. But if you are in my circle, text me information ahead of time so I can put it out and send it out to the brothers. Because you never know when a brother might need to just be in a space with other men to be encouraged. And also get, like a free breakfast or something. Amen? Praise God. And, even in that, there's information coming out. March the 28th, I believe it's the March the 28th of 2024. To March the 30th, this is going to be the preliminary pre-trial information. I'm going to have the details probably in the next week or so. It is a men's retreat that's being put together. It's going to be, I believe it's March the 28th to the 30th of 2024, Church of the Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. Right now, you can go to the website, but as soon as I have the information, I'll be sharing it, and we encourage you to come and be part of that. We're going to go, we're going to fellowship, we're going to connect. And I know Dr. Rondell Hall there and Bishop Jerome Stokes, and they're going to be speaking and encouraging into the hearts of men. And I believe it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a time away, a time out there out in the retreat center. They're going to the retreat center in the woods with no TV. And I've been in the retreat center they're going to. There may not be no phone service, brothers, so be prepared to just be present in the moment. Amen? Amen. But I'll have more information out as it comes about and be sharing it here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. But let me continue on. I want to touch on a couple more things for today on this episode, because we talk about being reconciled and reconciled back to God. Because, you know, God, we have to see it too. As men of God, as sons of God, as a child of God, we are given a responsibility. God trusts us with this ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry of reconciliation is for our homes, for ourselves, our families, our wives, our children, those in our circle of influence, those we're connected to by blood. And I'm going to say that because even in our families, you know, we all have family members that ever, since we came to faith in Christ, we've been converted, we've been transformed. We're now who we used to be. There's family members who have been watching us for years, seeing us. But we never know when God's going to move upon their heart. But some folk need to see consistency in our lives. So that's where we talk about the ministry of reconciliation. Remember, ministry begins on the day of salvation until this body is dissolved. Until this physical body we're in, until we are buried, we are in a ministry of reconciliation because we are touching lives. We are influencing people. We're being examples as how we live. We're opening our mouth and sharing the gospel. We're serving others. We're encouraging others. We're showing love. We're connecting. We're in fellowship. All of that is the ministry of reconciliation. But are we faithful to that thing? You know, I use the example all the time. You know, in your local ministry, how many people do you know? Are you connected with in your local church that you can get encouragement from, support, held accountable, or can to challenge you in your faith and growth, where you can sit down? We talk about iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron is not a cliche. It's instruction. Who are you being connected to who's sharpening you in the things of God, who's keeping you on the path, who is praying for you, who is keeping you and helping you to walk this thing out, and who are you helping to walk out their spiritual life and grow in the faith and knowledge of Him? Are we, you know, that's a lot of what it is when we talk about the ministry of reconciliation. So where are you, brothers? Where are you? Look at your life, look around you. In all that we do, in all that we have, is it glorifying God? That's the simplest way I could say it. Is who we are and what we're doing glorifying God? And are we prepared, given opportunities, to also represent Him in the midst of? Remember, we're not citizens here. We are travelers. We're pilgrims. Because our home and our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Again, when we're talking about the ministry of reconciliation, consider this. I want to point you to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse number 9. Amen? Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. And the word says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, praising God." Amen. Now, consider this, brothers. Brother, where you are in your faith walk, if you've been saved 30 years, you've been saved 40, you've been saved 2 months, 6 months, how wonderful would it be that in that multitude that could not be numbered, you could see the people that you witnessed to, that you shared the gospel to, that they came to faith to, that your brother that you stood by and prayed with and prayed for is in that number. The number is going to be on what does it say here? That no one could number, but in that you can see the folk that you shared the gospel with. Even if it was just a track, even if it was just a prayer, even if it was just a moment in time in your faith walk where you said something about Christ and a seed was planted that was watered by somebody else, and then God brings back to remembrance what you said and did for that person, made a difference, and now they're counted amongst the number that cannot be counted. Amen? And This is where we have to stir up our passion to evangelize. That we be responsible for a soul of every nation, every tribe, and every language. That's something we did in this life on this earth would bring someone to faith in Christ, and they would be counted amongst the number in heaven, but they also would be a child of God. Amen? Amen. So, again, if you would see that day that you would see several people, folk that you minister to, that you disciple, that you mentor, you, your wife, your children, your cousins, your aunties, your parents, your whatever, a co-worker who may not have, you know, he may not have got it right while you was working there, but because something you said and something somebody else said, or even reconciling the church back to itself. You encourage someone that you ain't seen in the body of Christ in a while. You encourage them to get back into the faith, and then you see them in that throne room, and that in where it says in the book of Revelation, as part of that number that couldn't be counted, because of your faithfulness, your steadfastness, and your willingness to share the gospel and do the work of evangelism. Amen? So just continue, brothers. I want to encourage you to continue to press in into those things to be an evangelist. Again, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Christian Minister Talk. For those brothers who are online on the switchboard, I see you. If you want to share, please press 1 on your keypad and bring you into the conversation. For those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always call in to us. We have a chat. There is a chat set up, I believe, if you're on that link. And I can see that too. I was getting that working, but let's see. We don't see nobody. All right, so we're good. So, again, I just wanted to encourage you what we're talking about. On the reason we should evangelize. Hell is real. We are the means of reconciling the lost to God. And those are the two things that today that I just want to talk about. Elder Mark, you still there, brother? Anything you want to share? Well, I guess he's
on. I'm sorry, my brother. I am. I'm still here. I just listened. I got a lot of background noise. Well, yes, sir. I just reconciliation. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. When you talk about reconciliation, It's when we think about evangelism, sometimes we think about talking to people we don't know. But we also have to recognize that our lives, living our lives, representing a representative of God, is an example to other people and truly is evangelism, because we're showing who God is. We're showing ourselves as transformed people that are living a different life. Those closest to you know who you were before you came to Christ. Those are the ones that may have been your running mates. Those are may have been the ones that you club with. It may be the one that you committed sin with, whether it be the woman you were involved in adultery with or, you know, whatever the case may be. You living a different life is evangelism, and you being that example is evangelism. But you have to be willing to share your new life. You have to be willing to share your new life, and that goes to those even close to you. You know, as Deacon Farr mentioned, and it really touched my heart, you know, to think about, we don't think about the cousin or the family member who is watching you, but needs to see you consistently moving so they'll be willing to make a decision. Because sometimes people think that, and this is just, it's a shame that people think like this, but this is the truth, that sometimes people think that when we come to Christ and we're new in Christ, that it's just a fad. It's just something else we're trying. We're not committed to it. We've got to show our commitment to Christ. We've got to show our commitment to believing and the faith that is changing us. That's the fruit that we bear when we live a life that represents who Christ is. And once again, we're going back to being his ambassadors. We have to show who he is in our lives. And when we do so, those around us see something different. Those around us desire something different. And even that is, once again, planting a seed for someone else to grow from, someone else to receive and see, and the door to be open that softens their heart to receive God, because they then want what you have. Especially when our life changes, like how we deal with our issues and our problems. You know, before I was a tight person. Literally, I had like my tattoo on my arm that I got before when I was in the world says angry man because my attitude was terrible. Like I had a bad attitude about everything. And not that I needed to. It was just my defense mechanism so that somebody wouldn't bother me. I just acted angry all the time. My response to everything was an irate response. And then when I came to Christ, I realized I didn't need that. And those around me saw that change in me. Even though I still have this tattoo on my arm, they see me as a different person. They see me as a person that they can come to and talk to and get godly counsel because I'm walking different, because I'm doing something different. Those that don't pray come to me and say, hey, Mark, would you pray for me, bro? Like, I'm just going through something. Can we talk about this? Can you share some insight on this? Because I know you deal with life in a different manner, and I want to be there. But that's what evangelism is. It's showing our lives as something different than who we were so God can use that as an example for someone else to grow. That's all I want to jump in and share, my brother.
Amen, sir. Amen. I appreciate you. Thank you. You know, and again, it's just that simple, gentlemen. Brothers, you're listening online, you're listening to this program. We just have to get to a place to keep the simplicity of what the gospel is and how we have to do it. You know, in 2 Timothy, it talks about doing the work of an evangelist. We have to set in our hearts and mind to be obedient and to just do it and to do it in a way that's pleasing to God. There's no right or wrong way. Let me say it like that. I think that's what a lot of it may hinder some of us. There's no right or wrong way of doing evangelism. Just do and be led by the Spirit of God to be able to just to do it, to go out and tell someone about Christ, to share the good news, to share your life, the transforming power that God's had on your life when you started to live obedient to the Scripture. When you started to pray, when you started to apply the Scripture to your life, that's the testimony and that's the example that you can help someone else understand that, yes, they too, if they would believe by faith in Christ, that they would be saved and that they would start to surrender and submit. That's the other thing. We have to show our humility, how we surrender and submitted to the Word and to the Holy Spirit. That now we live different, we think different, we act different, we respond to the issues of life differently. Even myself, you know, I still, you know, the brother brought up anger. You know, it's still times in my life now that you have to take this and not respond in anger. That I have to sometimes you have to humble yourself and let things come at you and then let it pass over you. You know, I remember a sermon one time that a pastor talked about, you know, sometimes you have to let stuff roll off you like a duck in water. You know, we know the duck and waterfowl, they're in the water a lot, but the way they're situated and insulated, the water just rolls off. You don't see ducks getting wet, but they stay in the lake all the time, but they're never really wet. That's how we have to be in this world. When stuff comes at us, not let our anger raise up, because then we'll be taken out of character, which one of my pastors says a lot, that we will let this stuff roll off and wait and let God deal with you and let God deal with the situation. And then that can be an example to the world on how we handle it. We can't always respond. You know, I'm still challenging because I have to have an unction of the Holy Spirit sometimes not to respond to everything that comes, especially when you're around folks, when you're dealing with the world situation, work, the community, neighborhoods, whatever, even in the church sometimes. Just hold on, because even in the church, you have to let some stuff roll off and let God deal with it. Amen? Amen. So, as we're getting closer here to the end, but I just wanted to encourage you again in evangelism. Why? The reasons we should. Because hell is real. Because we are the ambassadors and we are the means of reconciling the lost back unto God. He's going to use each and every one of us to reach someone for his glory, to reach someone with the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel of faith, that they will have eternal life in heaven. We're going to be used by him. And it's the same Holy Spirit that was in Paul, in Peter, in John, in the 12, and what was it? Oh, my goodness. Philip, when he went and spoke to the Ethiopian, that same Holy Spirit is living within us now if we are sons of God. And now we can go out and minister and share and proclaim the truth and the love of God and the wrath to come of God and encourage someone to know what must they do to be saved. That's all we have to do. That's all we should be doing as a church. And as we continue to encourage, to challenge, to hold each other accountable, and to support each other as men of God within the body of Christ, within men's ministries, within our gatherings and our circle of influence, doing those things that we can encourage one another. Amen. Again, if you're on the switchboard, if you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. I see a couple of brothers on there. I just want to give you opportunity if you wanted to weigh in on the conversation and share something. And I want to give one more scripture as we get near to the end here to close. I'm going to talk about, well, let me go to James. James chapter 4, verse number 14. The word says, but let me go. I'm going to go to 13. I'm going to go to James chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse number 13. Amen? Amen. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go into such a place in such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Amen? Our lives, I learned this a long time, it doesn't matter. The lives that we live from 85, 120, I think the oldest human being living now is about 125. And the Bible and Psalm speaks about us living to 85 or so. No matter the length of our physical life here on earth, it does not compare to eternity in heaven. So knowing that, and knowing that at any time, there's somebody, put it this way, there was somebody who woke up yesterday morning who did not wake up this morning. There's someone who woke up today who will not wake up tomorrow morning. So tomorrow is not promised to us. And then we as Christians, we have a hope in that. That if a Christian dies, we know their hope is in heaven. That now they have transitioned to glory. They're in the presence of God for eternity. For the lost, they're also, their yesterday, tomorrow, today and tomorrow is not guaranteed, but where would they spend eternity? And what would you have spoken the word to them that they wouldn't have to spend it in hell? In eternal punishment. And under the wrath of God for eternity. Again, if you believe the word of God, for the unbeliever, their destiny, their eternal punishment is waiting for them. What are we going to do to snatch them or move, to get them off that path onto the path of righteousness? You know, we talk about the narrow gate and the wide gate. Our lives, how are we going to use our lives to get folk off the wide gate, off the broad path, onto the narrow path, the path that we are on, hopefully. But now this is why we should evangelize, because tomorrow is not promised, and that we have to seek the gospel to convert souls, that they would hear and be converted, and that, again, their lives would be on the path of eternal joy and in the presence of God in heaven, and be part of the number that no one could count, that would be around the throne of God in worship, in their white robes, and how would we allow God to use us to move folk from a destiny of hell and eternal punishment to a destiny of eternal life. That's the simplest way I could say it. So, brothers, again, search your soul, search your heart, do the work of evangelists, continue to grow in your own faith, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, that God might use you, give the opportunity. And like I say, there's a lot of ways. There's you know, outreaches, there's tracks, there's things you could do, the little things that you can do, which you don't know that could save a soul from save a soul for eternity. Amen. So again, brother, I just want to continue to encourage you to live a life that glorifies Him. To continue to pray for your families. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. And again, if you receive this episode on in a text on your phone, please share it with some other brothers that you may be ministering and discipling. And again, men's ministry. The importance of brothers coming together to truly reason the word together. Men training men to train men. Discipling one another, mentoring one another in the things of God, that we could be husbands and fathers and sons that God has called us to be. And God and men, remember what I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. The men are the backbone of the church and of the family and the community. Godly men. We are the backbone. We are the foundation of the church. We have to be able to take our place, and we have to be able to stand alongside one in each other and uphold each other. Amen? Amen. So I just want to thank you for joining me this week. Again, this is Christian Men's Talk. We're live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Also, if you want to be part of the discussion in the program, reach out to me. We do tapings different times. We do tapings, and we upload them, and we just want to continue to encourage brothers to be and walk in your purpose and plan that God has for you. Not the purpose and plan of men, and not sometimes the desires of your fleshy heart, but walk in obedience to God, that you might hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So brothers, again, I'm going to thank you for joining us, and let us pray. Father God, I thank you again for another opportunity, for another day, that I would speak a word that would encourage my brothers. I ask God that you would continue to bless me and my family. Watch over me, God. I pray for wisdom and discernment and continue to live a life that is pleasing to you, that I may be a vessel used by you for your glory. Strengthen those pastors and elders and deacons. Strengthen my brothers who are on the line today, who listened in, and Elder Mark who shared. Continue to use us to speak life into a dead situation, oh God. You know the needs, you know the desires, you know the struggles, the temptations that men are going through. We ask today that you would give them the answer through your spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.